Today is the final in our series of four. I've called it cracked lens because it's like this. If we view life through a cracked lens, it has huge implications for how we live. Especially when we have a distorted view of God, it impacts our lives greatly. And I believe many people do. In fact, I believe that many reject God, but they're rejecting not the one true living God. They're rejecting a false God that's made in their own image. Because if they see him as he truly is, it'll give a clear view. So the first week, several weeks ago, we came to the conclusion that God's heart's always loving, his ways are higher, his presence is always enough. I'll come back to presence today at the end. Week two, we summarize that religion can't save us, but the law does teach us salvation can't be earned. We got to have a Savior, and Jesus is the only one who saves. Week three, last week, I said that if you had the feeling or feelings all the time, you wouldn't need faith. We concluded then, when God is in you, he is always with you. He is near. He is here. He is near. And I said also, silence does not equal absence. Today, we'll deal with a distorted view of God that concludes this often. I'm not sure God really cares. In fact, he might be considered to be a heartless God. I would agree, from a human limited perspective, sometimes it seems like God doesn't care. Because here's the crux of it. Because he can do anything. He has all power to do anything, and we know that, and we ask. When he doesn't do it, sometimes that causes our faith to free fall or stumble because we know he could, we know he can, but what if he doesn't? We pray a lot of times, we don't just tell God what we want to do, we tell him how to do it. Go figure. But we do. I think of life situations that I've seen and lived over my years as a pastor, and there's a lot of them. But I remember my senior pastor, J.K., that I served with for many years and was a good guy. I mean, God's hand was on him, anointed preacher when he was a teenager. And when he was in his mid-teens, about some age of some of all of you, maybe about sophomore, there was an illness in his family with a younger member of his family, extended family, and he was absolutely certain God was going to heal that child. He declared it. He prayed it. I mean, he stated it over and over, and that child ended up dying. And it rocked his world. Because he was so certain that God was going to do what he asked and what he believed he was going to do, but he didn't. For some of us listening and watching today, we've believed and believed, but the miracle still hasn't happened or it didn't happen. And so we might be on the edge of thinking that because of that, God doesn't care, he isn't fair, because he could fix it, but he has chosen not to. And I want to address that. And many times faith is shipwrecked because of these kinds of disillusionments. Think about our troubled world. Terrorist attacks happen, nations of the world, and innocent people are literally murdered. Natural disasters we've been in the middle of, they take innocent lives and cause untold suffering. Children are abused, and sex trafficking is on the rise, and slavery happens. And we desperately pray for God to intervene, but evil still happens. God has the power and he can, but he doesn't. More personally, it's, Pastor, my pain doesn't go away. My child, I've prayed and fasted, and my child continues to rebel and self-destruct, and I'm doing good the best I can. I'm working hard. I'm helping people. I'm serving God and people, but I just can't seem to get ahead. I can't seem to get a break in my life. These things are especially true when things touch our lives. That impacts our belief system. And we may cry out in the middle of the night, in the dark of the night, God, where are you? Are you there? Do you even care about me? Well, if you've ever felt or you're feeling any of these kinds of things, I want to tell you for sure, you're not alone. And I've given examples through this series, and we'll get into today, of real humans in the Bible because they were totally human and they struggled with these thoughts as well. Remember last week I mentioned David, and we love his prayers in the Psalms. And a lot of them are, oh, God, you're with me, you're with me, with me. And before long, he's saying, where are you, where are you, where are you? You ever feel like that? It's like spiritual schizophrenia, you know? David was kind of that way. What about Job? We haven't talked about Job for a while, but he loved God. I mean, he was a righteous man. I mean, God declared it, and he did good. He served God and served people, and yet he was attacked by Satan with God's permission, I guess you'd say. God allowed it. And here's the capper. His wife saw his misery, and after a while, she gave up. She said, Job, just curse God and die. I hope nobody has made that comment to you this week, okay? That's a problem. A tough thing. No answers for it. What about John the Baptist? I could use a lot of examples, but he was a relative of Jesus, as you know, a cousin, and he came to point it. He said, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. I'm preparing the way for him, and he just called for repentance of sin, recognition and repentance of sin, and because of this, doing all this, these righteous things he did, he ended up arrested, and he was in prison, again, for doing the right things. Now, what do you think he thought? Because he had some of his followers to go to Jesus and kind of inform him what was going on about his life situation. He must have, I mean, I wonder, between the lines, he must have expected Jesus to come rushing in to bail him out of this mess. I mean, Jesus could have come. He sent a message back, but he didn't come. I wonder if that's what John was expecting. And he died a martyr's death because of proclaiming Jesus. I don't think John's sorry now on the other side of eternity, do you? That he sacrificed his life? Well, I can't answer as a pastor every question you may have today, but I can point to the one who I believe can and will. And I am challenging you by faith to embrace this truth when God doesn't seem to care, when you don't think he's fair, that you can still make a choice by faith to trust him. Hebrews 11 still says, I alluded to it last week, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith doesn't mean you're feeling it all the time. It means that you have a conviction inside out that you know, you believe unshakably who God is. So I want to drop two things with you. I want to talk about two things today, simply. God's plan and God's presence. I alluded to that in one of the earlier messages, but I want to go a different direction. First of all, God always, yes, I said always, and I'm careful about using words like that, always has a plan and purpose for everything, and he has a plan and purpose for your pain, your suffering, whatever. And I'm not talking just physical pain, because there's all kinds of pain in this room that people that are listening or watching today or beyond, there's all kinds of pain in our lives. But I'm telling you what, there's no matter what you may be going through, God has the ability, the unique ability to use it for his glory. And I'm convicted of this, that if it's for his glory, it's going to be for our good. Whether we see it, recognize it, understand it or not. Whatever gives him glory has got to be good. Even when we're hurting from whatever source, God is still working. I don't know what your scenario is today, but maybe some of you have been disappointed by someone, that you've been betrayed, you've been let down, or you've lost someone near and dear in recent times or years, and you're struggling, or you may be involved in broken relationships and family. Someone got sick and you prayed and they didn't make it, or someone gossiped and lied, took advantage of you, wasn't fair. I mean, life just isn't going your way, and there's ongoing circumstances that you believe God could take you out of, but you're still in the middle of it. Whatever hurt you may be holding in your heart today, be it something very large or small, I just want to assure you that God does care. But here's the thing. I think sometimes we want to make sure God's working for us, but I think we need to take a step back and go, could it be that in this season God wants to work in us? Because he really has to work in us before he can ever work effectively through us. Got it? And I want to tell you, surgery is painful. I mean, who would like to have a serious surgery without any anesthetic? I mean, it's painful. So is it any wonder when God does spiritual surgery within us to make us something more that he wants us to be, that it would be a painful experience? Think about it. Why? Because he wants to be able to work through you. Through you. Our text for today that I want to bear down on is in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, and I want to read it slowly with emphasis. I think this is so relevant, so practical to us today. To me, this passage compares the temporary to the permanent, to the eternal. Here it goes, verse 6. So, be truly glad. Have you been truly glad lately? What's that look like? Be truly glad. Here's why it says, there is wonderful joy ahead. That doesn't mean there may be there's wonderful joy right now. It says that there's wonderful joy ahead. In other words, you may not see it around the bend, but I guarantee you it's coming. There's wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must, it didn't say might, possibly, it said you must endure many trials for a little while. That's temporary. God wants us to know this is not all there is. This test, this trial, this pain, this suffering, this is not all there is. Verse 7. These trials, painful suffering though that they are, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. The tests that bring about testimonies that impact people's lives that people can relate to. Your faith showing up through trials, that genuine faith is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, the gold standard. I mean, gold is good, right? And then he goes on, the writer, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. I mean, give me a break. Your faith, our faith, is much more powerful and precious than gold. So, knowing that, believing that, receiving that as a conviction, activating your faith. When your faith remains strong, that means activated, through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Many times he's revealed here and now in us and through us, but on that day it will be rewarded because God never misses anything. He knows exactly what's going on. That's why we can release so many things in this world that seem to trouble us, and we think God's not there, he doesn't care because people aren't getting what they deserve. You know, that this is happening, that happening. I'm going, you know, you could just hand it over to God and don't worry about it anymore because he's keeping track. Everybody will give an answer one day before him. Every knee will bow. Can you rest in that by faith? I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give this person, this situation to you. I can't change him. I can't fix him, but God, you're keeping track. And don't go and get him, God. I mean, let's not include that. I know that's what we're thinking sometimes, but just say, God, I'm going to roll this onto your broad shoulders. Wonderful joy ahead, as I read. Activate your faith today, now, even when you're not feeling it. You've got to have, as I read, faith to please God. Even though you don't understand, God's working in the middle. He's strengthening you. He's working in you, taking your spiritual roots deeper. You would think that many times trials and difficult times drive people away from God. That happens, but more times than not, I've seen that draw people to him. Maybe they look up for the first time. Maybe they come to the end of their hoarded resources and realize that their efforts are fruitless. Deepening your roots, working in you again so he can work through you. I read of a close friend who was experiencing chronic pain, and we all know that in the physical sense, not that alone, but when there's physical pain, I mean, it can be debilitating. Some of you know that journey. But somewhere along the line, and this began to extend days and weeks and months, but he met another guy who had a similar thing that he had, and his pain was at the same or similar level and off the charts. And this man told him, he said, you know what? The only way I get through this pain daily is to love God and to serve people like crazy. Think about it. His friend thought, okay, I'm going to try it. And he said before long, he took his advice, and he said, I became addicted to serving because I kept my focus up and out on God and others. In fact, he went on to say, when I'm actually helping or serving God and others, my pain goes away. In other words, it leaves my mind. It's not there front and center. He said, every day the pain is still bad. It's there, but my life has never been better. My marriage has never been better. I've never been closer to Jesus. The very worst thing I could have ever imagined has become the best thing I could have ever imagined. Wow. My point is that God always has a plan and purpose, no matter what, no matter what. In, for, during, through all things, he's working. And I refer a lot of times to Romans 8, 28 and 9. He works through all things, but for good. But what's the good of making us more like Jesus? How many of you know it's painful, the process of becoming more like Jesus? conforming us, forming us to the image of his son. God's presence. God has a plan, and I want to talk about his presence finally. God is here. God is near. He is with you in your pain, even when silent. He's always present. He's always working. Are you looking for? Are you listening to him? I love this psalm. Was one of the first praise choruses that we used to sing in another place that says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. What is he? Our refuge and strength at all times. It seems we often want God to give us what we want, the way we want it, but God wants to show us that we need him. He wants us to know this, I'm your source. Dixie and I love the When Calls the Heart series, and this old peddler on a Christmas show said something like this, sometimes what you don't want turns out to be exactly the thing you need. Has anybody ever found that to be? I better say that again. Sometimes what you don't want turns out to be the exact thing you need. Paul, in the Bible, went from one of the worst to one of the best. He was a persecutor, a killer of Christians. He was a classic example after meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was a classic example of living transformed. His life was rearranged in a new direction. But on that journey, the Bible tells us that he had a physical affliction, and he called it a thorn. And we don't necessarily know exactly what it is, but he pleaded. The Bible says he pleaded with God to take it away, take it away. And you think, I mean, this guy that went from worst to the best, you think God would respond to this great man of faith and answer his prayer the way he prayed it. Don't you think? Take it. I mean, God could do it. And God did respond, but probably not in a way that Paul was expecting. What's it say in 2 Corinthians 12:9? Each time, so he pleaded, how many times? At least three, maybe more. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. Does that ring true in your life today, in your heart? My power works best in weakness. In other words, it's not about you, it's about me. So now, I am glad to boast, he writes, about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. The power of Christ works through him because Paul allowed the Spirit of Christ to work in him. I'll say it again. He works in us to prepare us so he can work through us. Regardless of your life circumstances today, and I know they're varied. I know they're varied. God's saying to you by his Spirit today, I believe, I'm all you need. It cannot be explained necessarily, but it can be experienced because these are the most powerful testimonies that I know of. He lifts doubts and he sustains in pain and he extends comfort and he offers hope and he produces testimonies that are life-changing. I've said it before often and I say it again to make you think, let's determine not to live in the weakness of our own strength because our strength isn't strong, it's weak. In other words, we think we're in control. We think we can figure it out. We can call the shot. His strength is perfect. Lean into him. Yes, I said perfect. His strength is perfect. Lean into him. Lean on him. That's why he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:10. That's why, aforementioned, that is why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. He didn't say he was pleasuring in God's weaknesses. I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles. Some of you in good company here, that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, my life is here to point to him and praise him from whom all blessings flow. That's what caused my friend Andre to write, thank God for the mountains, remember? Thank him for the valleys. Thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I'd never have a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. You can testify in this lonely and painful season I have and I am experiencing Emmanuel, God with us. In other words, I'm having Christmas early, and you can have Christmas all through the year because Emmanuel, God is with us. That's a promise. I can delight in the things that brought me closer to Jesus, no matter what they are, no matter how unpleasant at the time, because God is teaching me through these things to declare not my independence, but my dependence upon Him. He is my source. He is my strength. If you took this life event that maybe you've been through recently, you're going through right now, and you did a freeze frame, you might say something like this: I don't like it, I don't understand it, I didn't choose it, I would never have wanted it in my life, it doesn't seem fair. But when you look back in the rearview mirror and you reflect over time, you'll see and say, God was with me through it all. He was strong on my behalf, even when I didn't know He was there. You know, I was just thinking, sometimes we tend to overestimate ourselves and we underestimate God. Stop it. Don't underestimate Him. He's working. Just because you don't see it, you don't feel it, doesn't mean He's not there. Well, I'm going to land this. When I think about underestimating God, I think about the scripture that I've referred to recently in Romans 11. I think it's about verse 31, somewhere in there. But so, you know, oh, what a wonderful God we have. Who knows enough to be His advisor? Who can tell God what to do and how to do it? In Acts, remember too, in Him, in You, oh God, we live and move and have our very being. I'm going to trust there. So I could hear some of you internally protesting today. Pastor, my experience is this: God's not fair. You don't have to duck and look for lightning bolts. You know what? I agree. I'll just say it. God's not fair, and I think that's a point to be thankful for. Because if God was fair, He would give us what our sins deserve. How would you like that? Read about it in Psalm 103, another one of my favorite life verses and chapters, really. Listen to this carefully. This is a word of hope. This is about God's work in our lives. God does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. We deserve judgment. For His unfailing love towards those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west, and I often say forever in the opposite direction. That's God's grace. Is anybody glad that God hasn't given you what you deserve? But He offers grace. Having a healthy God view means seeing things correctly, seeing from His perspective and not ours. He is the loving Heavenly Father who knows best. Could I illustrate it this way? And I think a lot of us, if we've been in a relationship with, you know, if we have kids or grands, but whatever, there are situations where we have to do the right thing and the best thing for them, even though they're too young to maybe understand, and we might have to inflict pain upon them while we're doing it. Does that make sense? You know, our family recently, you know, one of my grands had a football injury and had a very significant injury. And I was thinking of his parents, observing them, because I was thinking about the plan and the presence, the comforting presence, and just to see them there. And the father, my son, for example, had to go to the field and pick him up and carry him, went in excruciating pain, and every little movement caused pain and cry out, but they still had to transport, couldn't just leave him lay, still had to transform him, still had to tend to him on the bed and move and all that. I mean, what drove that? Love, loving presence. And you know that that grandchild, it made all the difference in the world that mom and dad were there and attentive. That's that loving presence, right? It's like digging a piece of big hunk of glass out of my son Caleb's heel years ago. And he was crying and it was painful, but I knew that baby was in there and I had to get it out. But I wasn't doing it to hurt him. It was hurting him, but it was overall going to help him and ease his pain. Are you with me on that? I remember a time, and I've heard of this recently, it started with our cat Wilson, you know, long-haired Wilson, had a great cat, loved him. I took him to the vet, prehistoric vet, I call him, And he was working on something. He had some big cut on him. He goes, could you hold that cat down where I work on him without anesthetic? I'm going, give me a break. But then I remember being in the hospital with Dixie and some nurse, God love you, phlebotomist or whoever you are. They go, I know there's a vein in there somewhere. And they can't say, you know, do you like to watch them stick needles in your loved one's arm? And she looks over me and goes, could you get over here and hold her down so I can find that vein? Well, I did my best. And she goes, you know, what are you doing? You're inflicting pain. No, it's because I loved her and I want her to receive that she needed. And so it is with our kids and grands, and especially with younger people, again, younger kids, because they can't understand it, but they have to trust you, and they're crying, and you're crying, huh? Come on, you're crying too, because you can't fix it, but your presence is the difference maker. Yeah, God cares even when you sneeze. Yeah, when you inflicted germs on the person in front of you just now. Okay, here's what I want to tell you, my dear church friends. When you hurt, God hurts too. We sang last Sunday, He Knows My Name, as we ended. But He's doing something in you so He can do something through you, whether you understand it or not. He's saying, I'm here, I'm working. Remember this moment, this circumstances. Again, this is not all there is. I'm more than enough. God's greatest act of love wasn't fair when He sent His only Son to die so that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting, eternal life. It was all for love because the Father loves. He is love. And here's my question for you. I'm going to invite my life partner to join me on stage, and we're going to sing for you. Because I think this song, I threatened to do it before during the series and just surprise her. But we did have a little time to get it together. But here's what I want you to ponder as we sing, okay? Will you choose to trust Him now? That's part of saying yes to Him. Are you with me in that? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to kind of in your minds, your heart and mind, just to kind of go palms up. And I don't want you to be, okay, God, I trust you. But I want you to tell Him specifically what you're going to trust Him with and entrust to Him. Whatever it is. The pain source. Will you trust Him and say, God, I acknowledge you're in control. You're working. I trust you. I trust you. I'm choosing to give you this. By faith, choose to see God as He truly is.